It doesn't sound much like an opera, at least not this part. Words and music were by Leonard Bernstein, and it was an opera. It's the early 1950s, and we're in suburbia, USA.
I guess that was the Eisenhower era.
Jack Gottlieb, who was an associate of Bernstein's, is the author of the current book, Working with Bernstein.
With the GIs returning from the Second World War and everybody wanting to build a new life.
For this one-act opera about Sam and Dinah, a couple in deep marital strife, Bernstein, as he often did, used everything in the culture to enliven his work. Psychiatry was very popular at the time, and Bernstein himself was spending a good deal of time on the couch, and that found its way into the opera.
The main character, Dinah, is in a scene where she's on the shrink's couch talking about a dream that she had.
Television was in its early days, but gathering steam, and the TV commercial-style commentary on the scene at hand sounded very fresh right then.
Suburbia, suburbia, 6 days of work. It used a combination of Americana, pop jingles. There was a sort of Greek chorus made up of jingle singers.
They were singing original Bernstein jingles about post-war yearning.
For the American dream of all the appliances needed in the kitchen and a car and comfortable bookshelves and that sort of thing.
The Trouble in Tahiti title was a splashy Hollywood movie Bernstein dreamed up and built into an aria.
Trouble in Tahiti, indeed.
Dinah, having gone to see the spectacle of it all, complete with convoluted plot and native legends.
Well, in any case, the hero is tied to a tree. Did I tell you he's a flyer who got lost at sea?
Not only that, but there was a sharp and prescient view of the American male, says Opera News feature editor and writer Brian Keller.
It was a perfect opera in the time and place. 1952, the war had been over for a number of years. Things were really changing.
The male lead was Sam, the husband, who's seen not on the psychiatrist's couch, but in the gym.
There's a law about men. There are men who can make it and men who cannot.
He's already sort of such a lost soul, this greatest generation guy who had, you know, charged through the 40s and everything and is supposed to have this wonderful future and expected to have this wonderful future, and he's lost already. And I think that Bernstein really grasped this sort of zeitgeist in the early 50s, that a lot of these men who'd come out of the war were losing their way.
Bernstein had his own conflicts to express, recalls Jack Gottlieb. Here he was, writing an opera about a marriage falling apart, just as he himself had gotten married.
His marriage was dicey to begin with because of his confused sexuality, which both partners were well aware of, and they knew what they were getting into, both of them. So in a way, I think Trouble in Tahiti was a way of working out the demons.
As for Bernstein himself, he claimed he thought of it as lightweight, a bit of fluff, even as others labeled it savage, harshly satirical, and really rather sad at its heart, which the composer must have realized, because just about 30 years later, he took Trouble in Tahiti and put it in the center of another opera, and the union of the two became his longest vocal work and his most personal. A Quiet Place.
In the first scene of Trouble in Tahiti, Sam sings to Dinah, "Try, Dinah, try to be kind. And that becomes a major motive in A Quiet Place.
The later opera revisits the family, picking up their story, and uses a completely different musical language. It was, after all, 30 years later.
It's like from one end of the spectrum to the other. He uses the language to show a specific kind of dark emotion of some kind.
Oh, it's very dark and very violent. Look, it's real life. And this is something that contemporary American opera does not go into very much.
Bernstein's new opera, completed in 1983, A Quiet Place, wrapped around the earlier piece, was difficult and somewhat misunderstood as well. Stephen Wadsworth, Bernstein's collaborator on the work, wrote that it represented Bernstein's declaration of independence late in his life, something his own, not for Broadway audiences, not for the marketplace. Jack Gottlieb agrees.
It was important to him to finish a large work, which I think he dreamed of being the great American opera. It didn't quite work out that way.
But he accomplished something that is almost never done, an intimate, personal, domestic opera about a particularly American way of life. And it all started with what he thought of as a light one-act operetta in the early 1950s.
We always have to remember, opera, as far as I'm concerned, is one of the most intimate art forms. I think only film is more intimate. There was nothing more needed to present this story than the forces that he gave it. I think that was all part of the design. It was all part of the plan.
Now, Trouble in Tahiti has become an operetta, wrapped in an opera, from inside the enigma that was Bernstein. And we can all decide what we think about it. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fisher.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.